both mouth and nose, as well as purple wheals across his cheeks and around both eyes. You feel all right, son?
Just a few hits. Only on the surface. Right now, I never felt better, Dad.
Ryan sat beside the boy, watching the pale spears of light break through the trees around them, casting long, watery shadows down the slope. It seemed amazingly still and peaceful, and it was difficult to believe that only a mile or so away, in the grove where the horses had been tethered, there had been bloody butchery done. They'd been moving fast since the breakout, and this was their first opportunity to talk quietly together. Ryan told the boy about the abortive raid that had ended with the deaths of the two Sekhmen and the capture of Micah. Dean explained what had happened afterward, and why he'd had to kill the helpless prisoner.
You did the right thing, son.
Dean was concerned to hear about the injuries suffered by J.B. Dix, Jack, and his father, though Ryan stressed that none of the wounds was life-threatening. The failure of the night's attack surprised the boy.
Was it Trader's fault?
That's a difficult question, Dean. He and I argued about placing the backup force. But in fairness to the bad-tempered old bastard, none of us knew that Straub had the kind of muti power it seems he's got.
Jamie tell you what happened?
How you pretended to be him?
Yeah. It was my idea. I'm not saying that to make myself any kind of hero, Dad.
I know that.
Just so you know, the kid didn't turn chicken on me. He was gonna own up, but I stopped him. I reckoned it was the best chance for both of us to make it.
Ryan nodded, keeping alert for any sounds of pursuit.
It turned out right.
Say, you like Jamie Wayman, Dad?
Sure. He's much tougher than you'd think the first time you meet him.
I thought that. Only he's got all that learning, don't he?
Doesn't he? Should be doesn't, not don't, Dean. Christy's always on at me for making mistakes like that.
You think it's important?
Christy says that if you can choose between getting it right and getting it wrong, then it's better to get it right. I suppose I agree with her.
Well, Janie knows all about math and history and places and science and stuff, Dad.
He's been well taught.
Not like me.
Dean put his head down, not looking up to meet his father's eye.
No, not like you.
Ryan moved close enough to put an arm around the boy's shoulders.
You've been taught in a different school. School of life. Sure, Jamie knows all that learning stuff, Dean. But put him in a wilderness with a knife and no shelter, and he'd die in 48 hours. Probably much less. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're the most self-sufficient boy I ever met. Bet you a bucket of Jack that even Jack Lauren wasn't as good as you when he was your age.
You reckon?
Yeah. You can look after yourself, Dean. Anytime and any place. You've been in tight spots that would make someone like Jamie sit down and wait for the last train to the coast.
Well, sure, but...
Does it worry you that Jamie's got such a good education, Dean? Is that it?
Suppose it is, Dad. Am I a real stoop?
For worrying about it?
Yeah.
Of course not. Everybody wants to be better than they are. I envy Mildred the way she shoots, and all she knows about medicine. JB for his knowledge of weapons. Christy for her wisdom. Doc for the bedrock of learning he's gotten himself. Jack for his way with knives and his tracking skills. Everyone has things they reckon they're good at, as well as things they envy others.
I suppose so.
You wish you were better book learned. Jamie wishes he could do all the things you can.
Does he?
Sure he does.
How do you know?
Ryan shook him gently.
Hey, are you doubting me, Dean? I'm telling you, it's so.
But, I mean... Do you think there'd ever be a chance of me having some sort of real learning like him?
I think it's possible. I know that Christy once talked about some kind of school where you live for a year or so. Not that far from Harmonyville, where she came from. Get yourself a real book education.
Dean nodded, his eyes screwed up as he considered this totally new option in his life.
A year?
Or 2 years. I don't know. I know that there's an awful lot of learning that a man could get. Doc sometimes says that knowledge is power. I believe him.
Do you really?
Yeah. We'd keep in touch. Visit. Then afterward, it might be that me and Christy will have settled down someplace. And you'd come join us.
Like Jack did?
Yeah.
He glanced up at his father.
And have kids?
Maybe.
Brothers and sisters for me. I think I'd probably like that.
If you got plenty of education, then you could pass it on to them.
Dean grinned, jumping to his feet.
Can we get back to the Ville and talk to Christy?
Not yet.
Ryan stood and looked behind them, where the fog had thinned down to a veil of white mist, opalescent in the first light of the new day. Dean was staring intently down the trail, through the trees.
Nobody's coming after us. We could cut back down onto the main track and be in the Ville in about 4 or 5 hours.
We could, but we aren't. I've been thinking about a sort of a plan. It's been taking its own shape while we walked and talked. Now it's time to bring it out and shake it down and hold it up. See if it might work.
They crossed the top of the hill, looking down the far side into another steep-sided canyon. The trail seemed to vanish as it reached the highest point of the scarp. The Hogback Ridge continued northward, and it was just possible to make out where it curved around eastward in what looked like the box end of the heavily wooded valley.
Hey, look! Pigs!
Ryan looked where his son was indicating, wishing that he had the boy's keen vision. He'd been so long with only one eye that he automatically accommodated to it, having no problem with spatial concepts. He still didn't have that same extra sharpness of sight as Dean. But he could make out movement. Pink-gray shapes lumbered between the trees. Now Ryan could see that there had to have once, way before the long winters, been a farm in the canyon, and it was the ancient pre-dark orchards that had attracted the large herd of meaty animals. There were rambling apple and pear trees at the bottom of the valley, the ground below them thick with windfalls.
Looks like it might be where they live.
That's what I thought.
We can probably work our way around the top end of the canyon, and then drop down into the next ravine along.
Ryan glanced sideways at his son, seeing how quickly he tumbled to why they'd come this difficult way.
Why do that?
Because it'd be triple stoop to go down where all the pigs are.
The boy grinned.
That's why we came this way, instead of sticking to the bottom road. Part of this special plan, isn't it, Dad?
Could be. Let's go slow and careful and see what we can see.
The brushwooders had taken the horses. All that was found in the abandoned clearing was a scene from a slaughterhouse. The 10 bodies lay where they'd fallen, every one with his throat neatly cut. Bill Rainey went quickly around the circle of corpses. Already the blowflies were humming busily around the lakes of congealing crimson, sensing a feast beyond any imagining. JB pointed down with his good right arm, the left one tucked snugly inside his jacket to ease the pain from the musket ball.
This one looks like he maybe tried to fight back a little.
Magnus. It's his twin brother Marcus lying next to him. Sweet couple of boys.
The sec boss held up his carmine hands to the gray dawn sky.
He must have been sleeping, Jesus. Letting this happen. 10 innocent men butchered like little lambs.
Jack limped to the far side of the clearing.
Best move. Got horses. Could follow us.
But the brushwooders didn't pursue them. Ditchdown was all for a vengeful chase once the corpse of his Aunt Rosie had been found with her neck snapped.
Catch him easy.
Straub shook his head.
Time for a serious change of plans. Now we know the kid we held belonged to that monocular son of a bitch Carter and not the valuable son of the Baron. When I finally get my hands on father and son, I'll take pains to see that they have pain. There's...
What's monocular mean?
One-eyed, Ditchdown.
But why not go after them all?
Tracks show only one came in for the boy. Carter's my guess. Bet you a peanut to a honey stick. The rest are hot putting it toward the Ville.
Ditchdown stamped his foot in frustration.
But why not get after them?
Baron's lost 13 of his men in the last day. He was always weak. Now, we've got the edge. In a day or so, we can go in slow and easy, and the Ville's ours.
Trader was for waiting to see if Ryan and Dean turned up safely.
Can't abandon friends. One of the greatest rules of living in Deathlands. Might be the number one rule.
Christy pointed at him angrily.
Just keep your nose out of this, Trader. Ryan told you precisely what we were to do. Things have gone wrong enough as it is.
Not Trader's fault.
Christy's not saying it is, Abe. We've learned that what Ryan says is generally the best thing to do.
I could not agree more, my dear Dr. Wyeth. Where rank confusion offers choice, best listen to a single voice.
Yeah.